Scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 13. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings."
Thank you for that scripture reading. God almost sounds like a genie here. He shows up and says, "Ask whatever you want. What would you wish for? If you could ask God anything and he would give it, what would that prayer be? What would you ask God of? Would it be something in your life? What are you already asking him for?" It would feel weird asking God for like $10 million. If it's a genie, you feel a little safer asking that. With God, you feel bad asking something like that. You don't want to ask for wealth or power from God. But maybe that's what a lot of people would do, and that's what the text implies, is that this is something a lot of people would do. We summarize it as he's asking for wisdom, and that is fair. But what the text specifically says is a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, which maybe we can think of that as a definition of wisdom, a discerning heart and the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. God is so pleased and so impressed with Solomon's choice for wisdom over riches and power that he says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to throw in some riches too, just cuz I like what you asked for." And so the wisdom was granted. God is the giver of wisdom. Wisdom is something you can grow in, but maybe there's some debate if it could actually be earned. God is giving, but Solomon has put him in a place to really receive it. Solomon calls him Lord my God, and he says, "You have made me king. You have made me king." He didn't say, "I earned this." He didn't say, "I deserve to be king." He didn't say, it's my right. I'm entitled to it." Now, he acknowledges it's by God's goodness, power, and providence that he's in the place that he is in. He acknowledges who God is. God is the giver. Then he acknowledges who he is. "I'm a child. I don't know how to carry out my duties. I'm a child." He's probably a teenager at this point in life. He actually was young. But he is acknowledging who he is. He knows his limits and capabilities. And he's saying, "I need help. I don't got this." That sure feels like another place where wisdom starts. It's understanding, I don't know it all. I have room for growth. It's humility. And we talked about humility on Wednesday night. Humility could be viewed as a modest opinion of yourself, or maybe an accurate opinion of yourself, knowing your limits. Okay, now, don't point anybody out. Don't blur out their name. But do you kind of know the type of person who is a know-it-all, but they're kind of an idiot. You know the type? Someone who, maybe they have weird ideas or beliefs or conclusions, but at the same time, thinks everybody else is dumb and wrong. You know the type. It's a dangerous box to be in. I've thought before, what a bad combination. Then I realize that's what a fool is. A fool is someone who knows everything and they can't listen to anybody else. So they can't learn. They're know-it-all. It's the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom knows I don't know it all and I don't have it all, and that's what Solomon's doing. So here we see the way to receive wisdom is realize you don't know it and you need help. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Here we see Solomon fearing and recognizing who the Lord is and understanding who he is. God is good. He is the blesser and the giver. I do not know it all, and I need his help. Solomon is mentally and spiritually in a place to receive wisdom. If we are going to ask God for wisdom, then we need to put ourselves in a posture to actually receive it. That comes from fearing God and recognizing that he is the giver of wisdom, and humbling ourselves by acknowledging we don't have it all figured out, that we need help. He asked for the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, which a lot of times is easy, right? But sometimes it's not. Sometimes right and wrong is not as clear as we would like it to be. You ever been in one of those situations where it's a gray area on what the right thing to do is, where it seems like there's lots of right and wrong answers, a situation where you don't know what God wants you to do? One I think of is protecting someone's feelings versus honesty. How much truth do you tell before, you know, you hurt them? You don't want to hurt them. Is there some things not that you shouldn't say? How much do you say and how much do you not? As a minister, a big one is speaking honesty at the pulpit. In leadership, being any form of leadership, how much do I push and challenge people before they've had enough and quit listening? There's a quote I've mentioned to you before. Leadership is disappointing people at a rate they can handle. I think it's kind of a negative take on it, but what it's saying is, hey, leaders got to make the bad, tough decisions, and you don't want to do too many where you lose the followers. So you got to have wisdom in when to push and when to not, when to challenge and when to say, good job, you guys are doing great. And then another one I thought of is honoring what people's wishes are versus what is actually good for them. Sometimes I want to do what you want. I want to bless you. I want to give you what you want. But then other times it's like, well, what is the bigger picture here? So he's asking for help and for confidence in these tough situations where you don't know what is the right and wrong thing. It's also about distinguishing between good and evil. I sometimes wonder with like events in life, things that go on at church, is this from God or Satan? Is this from good or evil? Is this a situation I need to accept that God is doing something here? Or is it a situation where I need to fight? I want God's wisdom to help me to know which battles to pick. And so he's asking for a discerning heart. Discernment is the ability to perceive and understand and judge situations accurately, judging intent and motives of people. Now, we shouldn't judge intent and motives of people all the time, but sometimes you need to be able to get a read on people, right? Again, I think about in leadership, is this person being honest? If I let this person have more power, say, in the community, will that be helpful or will it be dangerous? Are these people wolves in sheep's clothing? Should I give a mic to this person? These are questions you should ask. These are questions that require some discernment. What kind of counsel do I give these people coming to me with these problems? When do I listen versus give advice? When do I speak versus keep my mouth shut? Usually you need to err on the latter, keep your mouth shut. When I'm making big life decisions about a job or college or a living situation or who I'm going to marry, I want to make the right choice, right? What is the right choice? I think the right choice is maybe the choice that God would want us to make, right? Isn't that the right choice? Is that a fair take on what makes something right? Is it the thing God wants you to do? And maybe not even necessarily the outcome. Sometimes we think, oh, a choice was right if the outcome was good. If the outcome was successful or a failure, then that'll determine if it was a right choice. But sometimes making the right choice by doing what God wants, it may not always lead to success. It may lead to suffering. Sometimes doing the right thing, doing the thing God wants you to do, might lead to suffering. It might feel like failure. For me, a big part of wisdom is doing what God wants, making the choices that God wants me to make. So when you ask for wisdom, you're asking God to discern his will so you can follow it. Show me your will so I can follow it. I think that's a good prayer to pray to God. God, show me your will so I can follow it. Might be a tough thing to ask. His will may take you to some tough places. But wouldn't it be good to know that you are walking in God's will, that you are doing the things that God wants you to do? And so these are the things we're talking about when we talk about wisdom. The ability to make good choices, the choices God would want you to make. As we work through this series, we're going to explore and talk more about discerning God's will and finding and identifying God's leading and help in our decisions. But God is really pleased that Solomon didn't ask for something for himself like wealth or death of his enemies, but something that would bless others, something that would make him a good ruler. In Proverbs 16:16, Solomon writes, "How much better to get wisdom than gold and get insight rather than silver." He really believes wisdom is better than wealth. He didn't just write this, he chose it. He wrote it, but he also lived it. And it is great. Imagine having God's decision-making skills at your disposal. I want that. That sounds awesome. It sounds like a cheat code at life. It would feel great to know I am walking right in the path of God has set for me. I'm right in the center of God's will for my life. That doesn't mean everything will be perfect. But it'd be good to know. I would like to know, God, is this? And sometimes I think we say that, hey, you are right where God wants you to be. And sometimes I hear people say that, and I'm like, are you sure? Sometimes I really do wonder, have I made a bad choice that has put me where I'm not supposed to be? But it would be good to know that if I am in a situation where life is terrible, I'm still being the person God wants me to be. I'm making the decisions God wants me to make. So this morning, we can think of wisdom as the ability to make decisions about situations and people and our lives that God would want us to make. And those decisions need to be made in love. That's sometimes how you can tell if a decision is wise and God ordained. This month, may we, like Solomon, enter into a posture that is ready to receive God's wisdom, recognizing who he is and recognizing our need for him and his guidance. God, show us your will so we can follow it. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, if you need prayers, we want to invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.